Hi, folks. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. It's your host, Jeff Steger. And today, we're using the facilities of the Agri-Center in Guelph on Stone Road. And my guest for this show, episode number 77, is Mr. Bruce Kelly. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Jeff.
Just to let you brought some music in, let's play your first song, and we'll do some station promos and stuff, and tell us a little bit about this song you would like us to play. It's Don't Stop Believing by Journey. I think a lot of people recognize that. When did you first hear it?
Jeff.
Why do you like that song?
Don't ask me music songs, Jeff.
Oh, that's a great song. I can remember listening to this like it was on Top 40 for a long time. And probably that's why you liked it, too.
Yeah.
It's just a real catchy tune.
That's why I like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought it along. So let's play that, and we'll be back with my guest today, Mr. Bruce Kelly. And stay tuned, folks. Stay locked in. We'll be right back.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. Thank you.
This is Chase Phillips, and you're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Okay, we were just listening to a song by that band called Journey, Don't Stop Believing. I guess that's a good advice for anybody, isn't it, Bruce?
Yeah, it's a good agricultural song, Jeff, especially this spring when you got to believe the snow is going to melt and you're going to get to plant someday.
Yeah, that's true. Let's tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, Bruce.
We're
good. We're having a great time here, folks, getting all our machinery working. And I think we're in business now. So my guest today is Bruce Kelly. And Bruce, tell us what you're doing. You're at the Agri-Center here in Guelph.
Yeah, Jeff, I work for Farm and Food Care Ontario. It's a small non-government organization here in Guelph. We do a lot of work on animal welfare issues and environmental issues at large. I specifically work on water and irrigation water use in agriculture, but we also address all kinds of environmental issues, from sustainability to phosphorus runoff and nutrient leaching.
I think our public would really like to hear something about that, more about that. We'll look forward to that discussion later on in the show about what you do and how that applies to what people might be interested in and what's happening in the greater agricultural community. Are you a farm kid by any chance?
Actually, I'm a city kid turned farm kid.
Oh, my goodness.
I grew up in North Toronto and loved ecology and biology and got a degree from the University of Guelph. And I started my career raising fish right here in Guelph in the Aberfoyle water gravel pit and raised trout for a couple of years and then moved on to hog production. So I was a hog producer for 22 years in Wellington County out at Conestoga Lake.
Well, that's part of our catchment area. This broadcast is put on by CKMS Radio 100.3 in downtown, beautiful downtown Waterloo. And lots of our listeners will know Lake Conestoga Lake, the Conestoga area. So, wow, that's quite an interesting background. And you've one of the few people has changed your career as your interests and abilities and so on. How did you, was there a, it's tough to be in a hog business. Was it a tough time when you were in it?
Yeah, it was. I loved my time in the hog business, but it was a tough business, and so decided to get out. And so we got out in 2005, and then I moved to work for the Ontario Soil and Crop Improvement Association in Guelph for the next 7 years, and then for the last two, I've been here at Farm and Food Care.
And very busy. I know you and I talked previously. Numerous meetings. Well, you're heading off somewhere tomorrow to some place again, right? What was it? Or you were at?
Visiting with the folks at the tender fruit and vegetable growers, because they've got some interesting projects that we're helping to fund this spring, looking at water use in grapes and tender fruit, and we're helping them out with that project.
Yeah. So when you're busy doing your stuff, you just had your annual meeting last week, and so got some accolades and marching orders for this new year. I don't think people realize how much in behind the scenes work it is to for people like yourself who are doing so much of the important basic stuff that's required of agricultural organizations today.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real seasonality to our business, the same as there is with farming. As farmers know from attending many meetings throughout the winter, those of us that work on and go to those meetings, there's preparation for those meetings, and you have to get ready to speak at many of them. And then the programs that are going to be in place for the summer, I mean, we only have one growing season, and if we're going to, as I help to fund research projects, all of my research projects that we help to manage occur in the summer, so that groundwork has to be laid, the ideas have to be fostered and developed through meetings in the winter, and you have to be ready to go. Although many of our projects aren't planting seeds, if we're looking at drainage and irrigation and measuring water use, that stuff's got to be in place, so equipment's being installed as we speak so that we can collect data over the summer.
Maybe we should talk a little about the group you work, Farm and Food Care. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit what Farm and Food Care is doing, what they do?
Yeah, so Farm and Food Care has been around for 2 years, but we're the amalgamation of two organizations that have been around for about 20 years, Ag Care and the Ontario Farm Animal Council. So those were organizations that represented livestock agriculture and non-livestock agriculture, and they amalgamated 2 years ago. It's a natural fit for us. Issues I work on, some of them are livestock and some of them are cropping related, but there's huge overlap, so having one umbrella organization working on them both just makes sense to us.
Now, that's good to hear, people need to know that it's those jobs need to be done. They're funded by producers and by government. Right? It's probably like most organizations, huh?
Our organization is funded primarily through donations from and members from individual farmers and commodity groups. The projects that I work on, the research grants, that's government funding that we administer. We're administering a program this year called the Water Adaptation and Management Initiative, and we're managing about $1.5 million in funding, and it's from the Growing Forward 2 program.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that people would love to know more about. People are like agriculture. They want to know what's going on, and there's so much stuff that I think an interested listener would like to know more about agriculture, and that's stuff like that, those government programs and so on. That's for another day, I suppose. It's a lot to do in one day. We'll have another chance to do this stuff here, so that's the main thing. So you know what? We can take a little break here and play a song. Would you like to hear which one of the other three did you like to hear? There's Flock of Seagulls, Bastille, or Capital City?
I think it's time for some Capital City, Jeff.
Okay. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that song before or after we play the song?
I think you should play the song first.
I shall do that then. Okay, folks, we'll be right back. And it's the Agricultural here on CKMS Radio 100.3, and it's your host, Jeff Stager. See you in a bit.
I can lift you up.
Okay, folks, we're back, and that was a band called Capital Cities, and their song was Safe and Sound. And I was asking Bruce what he knows about this song, but he is a consumer of music and doesn't really feel followed. How do you put it? It stuff comes out of a machine. But you do like music. You
know? Oh, I love music, Jeff, yeah. And I listen to it all the time. I don't hoard it like some of my friends.
Yeah, some people are pretty elaborate. The technology now, you can have thousands of songs on a little wee stick of some sort.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know how people... are you one of those guys that goes jogging and has the earbuds in your head?
No, I'm afraid to get hit by a car. Yeah. I love music, but I think there's a place for it. Walking and texting and jogging and listening to music, I don't think it's quite appropriate.
I think that's quite a lot of overload myself. I don't know how people can multitask so much like that. That seems like quite a burden to try to focus on what you're doing. And there's some value in just being outside. Doesn't one think?
Yeah, exactly.
Any hobbies that you have when you're not busy doing all your activities with the farm and food care?
Yeah, well, when I'm not working, Jeff, I spend a fair bit of time up north in the Parry Sound area. I have a family place up there, so I go up there a lot of weekends. That's where I get my nature fix these days, mm-hmm. when I don't get to plant crops anymore.
And it's a beautiful countryside up there. Have you found a good, easy back way up there? You know, people's legendary are the traffic drives to go up.
Yeah, well, it's getting harder and harder to outsmart the traffic. And as you know, the GTA circle of congestion is bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's not so bad at this time of year, but once real tourist season hits, it can be quite a challenge getting up there.
And that'll start May 24th weekend, I guess. That's the official, would you say?
Yeah, May 24th weekend is probably the worst weekend of the year because everyone that goes north comes home.
Yeah.
Every other weekend they're going, they may not come the other direction, but May 24th is the worst weekend for traffic.
That's usually the weekend most farmers are back at the farm doing their farm thing, and you've had experience in doing that too as a farmer. Usually you had to stay home and do those sorts of things. So,
yep.
Farm and food care, you're with, they keep you busy. You've got a list of projects that you've been working on, and I'm not sure we should talk about those a little bit because you know, this gives our listeners an idea of just the width and depth of the work that goes into developing policies on behalf of the industry, on behalf of the public, to do what we do. And so that's a proper intro for you. And I'm just delighted to hear some of the projects you've been working on.
Thanks, Jeff. So, yeah, with our funding program, it's not open for all farmers to directly apply to. What we seek to work through is generally commodity boards and their research teams. So what we seek to do is to fund gaps in the information that commodities or industries might have in their use of water or nutrients. So what are the burning questions? What piece of technology do they need tested? What machinery do they need tested? What equipment do they need tested that's going to give their growers better information on how to use water and nutrients better in the future? So this year we funded 28 new projects. Last year under the RAMI program we funded 17. This year we're funding 28. And many of them are with the University of Guelph, various projects at the research campuses, and we've got some really interesting projects with commodity boards themselves. So for example, with the potato marketing board, we've got two projects to study water use. So I don't know, certainly not too many pivot arms in the Waterloo region, although there's one when you drive on the 401 on the way to Woodstock on the north side of the road. So
I've seen that.
Yep, so there's a few pivot arms around the province. And what we've done with the potato project is to put valving on the boom so that you can apply different amounts of water in different zones within the circle. Because the entire field, as we know as farmers, no field is uniform. You've got high spots and low spots and sandy spots and heavier soils. And so what the potato project has done is actually allowed us to put on different amounts of water in different places in the circle so that we can give more water to the sandy crests and less water in the dips where the potatoes might actually get potato mold, where it would actually
water.
Too much water. So that's a project. So the idea there is you can use less water, but you also help the farmer get improved crop quality.
And this is a win for everybody. This is a win for the environment. It's a win for the cost of production and for food safety.
Yep. No, exactly. And all of these projects, you know, we're not naive about water use. In fact, as we improve the technologies, we'll probably use more. There's a couple of industries like grapes and apples that 15 and 20 years ago didn't irrigate at all and are moving toward irrigation because you've got to guarantee that you're going to have a product and a quality product, especially as we invest in packing plants and further processing. If you're going to sign that contract, you've got to guarantee that you can produce a product.
Well, that's and I think people can get that's a big part of what's happening in agriculture is the research and the like that it takes to do that. So we should mention some websites before we forget, because I always forget to do that. How would people find out more about the shows about yourself and how you fit into the scheme? How would they find out more about what you're doing?
Yeah, we've got lots of information on our website, Jeff, about farm and food care in general and the activities related to animal welfare, but also on the environment. So if you just go to Farm and Food Care, your favorite search engine, and then when the home page comes up, we've got an environment tab and that's the easy link to all of our projects. And so there, we specialize in helping the information actually get out to the public. So all of the projects that we visited last year have video links. And we make YouTube videos that you can go and visit, actually see the farm sites and see the research that's going on. Just south of Waterloo Region, another project that we did last year was in Brant County on Whiteman's Creek.
Okay.
So Whiteman's Creek is a waterway that drains into the Grand River that often runs dry or has reduced flows. And has a lot of irrigators in the area. So there's actually two videos on there about improving on-farm ponds for storage of irrigation water. So you just go to Farm and Food Care and then click on the Environment tab. And then last year's program was the RAMI program. And no, I don't make these in acronyms, folks. They're given to me. So last year's funding program was called the RAMI program. And this year's program is called RAMQ. The Water Adaptation Management and Quality Initiative, and that's got our 28 new projects for this year on it.
28 projects. That must take a whack of organization. Is that your responsibility?
Yeah, so we administer the contracts on the projects. Again, we are not the research body. We manage the projects. So we do the call of proposals and manage the paperwork, and then we have a review committee of OMAFRA and Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada technical specialists that help us pick the best projects. So we help with the administration, but we're not researchers. But it's great because as farmers, we're all hobby scientists anyway, whether we're real scientists.
No truer words were spoken.
We are all hobby scientists. And so these projects, farmers on their own farms are always experimenting and trying new things, whether it's field plots or test plots. And all our work does is carry that on a little bit further, and we hire some students to help actually record the data so that we get, a little more scientific papers that we can help look at the answers to the questions that we're posing. But they're on-farm projects in the end. The applicants are generally the commodity boards or soil and crop or the federations of agriculture are the applicants. But ultimately, most of these projects get done on real farms here in Ontario. And we've got projects that go from Ottawa to Windsor. And we've got projects at the Simcoe Research Station, Ridgetown, Ottawa. And this year, we've got a project up in Cobden, Ontario, on the Ottawa River.
And did you have to make an effort to get to see all those projects? I guess you're not doing the research, but you're organizing all the stuff. So
yeah.
I guess at times you want to go see what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the fun in the job, Jeff, is going out to visit the projects and shoot some video and see what these people are doing and get infected by their enthusiasm for what they're doing because there are. You know, these are fairly big dollar projects. They're up to $70,000 that we help contribute, and they get funding from elsewhere. So they're big deal projects, and the people are passionate about what they're doing. And And you know, they're research questions that are posing real questions, and they really do want to know the answer, whether they're testing a piece of equipment to see if it's economical, whether it may make promises about saving water or making reducing labor or improving crop quality. But this is where the metal hits the road, and these products get tested.
Yeah. So it's a full year and 28 projects. You're going to be busy with that. Is that above usual? Do you normally have that many in a year?
We did 17 last year, okay. But we're doing 28 this year. Several of them are returning projects from last year that are looking to collect another year's data, so those projects won't be as complicated to administer as the newer projects.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Let's play another song. How's about, is it Bastille by Pompeii?
Excellent.
Feeling brave, and tell us why that one. Do you, I just had a quick listen to it. It's quite different.
We'll just share it with the listeners and see how they like it.
We will do that. We'll be back, folks, and thanks for tuning in today to the Agriculture Show. This is episode number 77. My guest today is Bruce Kelly, and we'll put him to work when we get back. See you in a bit.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. So I'm Bruce Kelly. I work for Farm and Food Care in Guelph, and you're listening to the Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents farmers, farm producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovative, hard work, and compassion that is empathetic of the region of Waterloo. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thanks for doing that, Bruce. It's really tough, isn't it, eh? Like, I get mumbly-mo, too, after a while, but it's really good. It's a real good
Well, stuff. I love the word...
empathetic.
Empathetic, Jeff.
Emblematic.
But this is emblematic, and I'm not sure I worked that into conversations too many times during the day.
Yeah.
So I'll have to do a better job of working emblematic into my vocabulary.
Well, it's nice that you I'm getting marble mouth here. I'm glad you did that, because we just want to bring out to our listeners, our goal here is to bring the news of agriculture to the public, and we're hopefully speaking to interested individuals in agriculture, maybe not necessarily in it, but they want to know more about it. And so just to recap, folks, we've had a great show so far with our guest Bruce Kelly. We talked a little bit about his varied and interesting career to get here on this is Friday afternoon. We're talking about farm and food care, and we talked a little bit about some of the projects you've been involved with, 28 this year coming up. In the future, do you see happening with agriculture in light of the kind of effort that farm and food care is doing? Do you see even more projects you're going to have to manage, or do you see... more research money coming along?
Yeah, well, thanks, Jeff. Well, there's so many issues going on in agriculture at any one time. I'm heavily involved in research work related to a better understanding of agricultural water use. And so the biggest water users, of course, are irrigators.
Mm-hmm.
So we work a lot with vegetable producers, potato growers, because they're the ones that actually irrigate. In terms of most livestock producers, they drill a well, good water comes out of it in most parts of Ontario, and you run for 10 or 12 years until the pump fails one morning, and then it's not too good a morning. But once you get the pump fixed, you don't worry about water too much, unless there's a drought year like 2012, and then those with shallow wells might look at their water use. But most livestock producers aren't too worried about their water use. But you get into irrigators, and it's a big province, and people's attitudes about water vary so much with their geography, where they are. The good folks in the Holland Marsh spend most of the year pumping the water out of the marsh, and then they use some irrigation water in the summer.
Yeah.
But then our good friends south of Waterloo region down in Brant and the Norfolk Sand Plains, that's a different deal. They'll be looking at the level in that irrigation pond the first thing when they go out to the shed in the morning, because that tells them how much they can irrigate that day. So attitudes about water use vary greatly across the province, and a lot of it has to do with what kind of access you have to water and what your soil type is and what its water-holding capacity is and what you're going to grow.
And, there's a lot of thought goes into water use. From the public may be aware of things like pipelines and that sort of thing and water restrictions, and agriculture has the same kind of need for permitting. And therefore also a great interest in the conservation and making efficient use of that water. And one of your projects was just an emblematic of that, with how to proportion the water on for that specific area of the field, on pivot irrigation like that.
Yeah, our project on water use and the pivot irrigation, there's a whole lot of stuff that's happening in agriculture now with our GPSs and allowing, so now that we know where we are in the field, and then we can variably apply nutrients. So there's a lot of work going on with variable application of fertilizers to put the right amount on in the right place, the 4R program.
Mm-hmm.
And so those all feed into our overall objectives of sustainability and being able to continue to produce food on an ongoing basis.
So Farm and Food Care and the other people in this building, this is the we're using the facilities of the Agri-Food Center in Guelph. You'll find numerous people here whose job is to be part of that great agricultural industry in Ontario. And in this building then are those persons who really are the specialists in the, like yourself, in research and in developing policy and so on. And most people would understand agriculture, that that's the farmers, but they may not realize there's a lot of people like yourself busy doing the nuts and bolts work for agriculture. Is it a good job? You like it?
Oh, I love it, Jeff. I love to be able to use my background as an agricultural generalist and then work with all these passionate farmers and commodity board specialists and researchers here in Guelph and throughout the province. It's fun every day. You know, here in Guelph, with the University of Guelph being kind of pivotal, and then so many of the commodity organizations have now centralized in Guelph. There's reasons for people to locate in different places, but having so many of them here in Guelph means that we can do the have meetings very efficiently. It's only a few minutes to walk across the street here to the OMAFRA office, or the Ontario Federation of Agriculture is headquartered upstairs. The grain farmers are here. Ontario Pork is just a few blocks south of us. Ontario Beef is just at the north end of town. So it's a great hub to have the commodity organizations close together so that we can meet and interact and talk. You know, it's just really cost efficient without having to be in traffic or commute long distances.
Well, that, and I think a lot of people can get that sort of thing. Just occurred to me, do you guys have an open house here by any chance so the public can come in? That's not done that much more, is it?
Not at this building, I wouldn't suggest. I mean, all of the organizations that are around and all the commodity boards have annual meetings, and that's generally their big show with their producers, so they have annual meetings. And then most commodities have a large trade show.
I guess I'm getting that indirectly, not meaning to point out anything that's not right. And what I was getting at was, how would the public get involved find out more information about agriculture if they wanted to, above and beyond, you know, just the headlines in the paper that day? What would be a good source for you're an agriculture journalist. How would a public generalist find about agriculture? Any suggestions for our listeners then?
Sure, Jeff. I mean, agriculture in general, farm and food care, one of the things we do is to help present credible information on agriculture and agriculture-related issues. So for the general public, if they wanted to learn more about farming, we actually have virtual farm tours where you can visit 150, I think it is, different farms all online.
Oh, my.
So you go to our website, Farm and Food Care, or you go to YouTube. You can also access our videos and the virtual farm tours on YouTube. So you can go to YouTube first and then go to Farm and Food Care, or in your favorite search engine, type in virtual farm tours. And that is a portal to, as I said, there's over 100 videos, different kinds of farms, grain farms, beef, dairy, all the different kinds of poultry, livestock. And these were designed as teaching tools to allow students to have access to farms without having to go on a school bus. Not that visiting farms isn't the best way to get an agricultural education, but all kids don't have the opportunity to tour all of those different kinds of farms. So these virtual farm tours were funded by commodity boards who had input into the development of the series of videotapes. And so you can access them on any computer anywhere. So that's a great way to see a different kind of farm. In terms of access to other information, when you get to a more technical point of view, then you can start going to the individual commodity boards. They all have websites. On policy issues, you might go to the OFA. And then for the vast wealth of more technical information, you'd go to OMAFRA, the Ministry of Agriculture and Food and Rural Affairs. And the Ministry of Rural Affairs. And within their website, they have years and years of fact sheets that they develop. And then they also have what they call BMP books, Best Management Practices books.
I've seen those, yes.
Yeah, and so those are the topical, so they have them on They have brand new ones out on greenhouse management, water use in greenhouses, floriculture, grapes. Then they have them on beef, nutrient management. They have a brand new one on phosphorus runoff. One of the things that's near to my heart is keeping nutrients on the land and not having them run off. So there's a brand new one called the phosphorus primer. It talks about keeping nutrients on the land, how we can use fertilizers, dry fertilizers, liquid fertilizers, and manures. Apply them properly so that they stay on our fields. So for technical information, I'd go to the OMAFRA website.
So no shortage for an interested listener to find out more about agriculture.
No, absolutely.
The videos must be good fun. I guess I can think of all those people in Toronto. They're never going to get a chance to see a farm animal.
No, well,
the Royal Winter Fair, I suppose.
Yeah, the Royal Winter Fair. And then Farm and Food Care also hosted last year, actually in AIR. We hosted a Breakfast on the Farm event.
Mm-hmm. That was a great event.
That was a great event. We had 2,000 people out to a dairy farm on a Saturday morning in June. Mm-hmm. And we had lovely hosts there in a brand new dairy facility. And we had 2,000 people who generally have not been to farms who had an opportunity to come out and walk through a dairy barn.
Yeah, I think, you know, I know our federation, we used to do those farm tours as well, but there certainly is a big, you know, it's a real burden, a real act of volunteerism for the owners to present their farms for that sort of thing. There's issues around liability and disease control, all kinds of crazy stuff. So, you know, that was a great event you guys ran and did that. It's a, because that's the real thing. That's what people get that.
Well, and this year's Breakfast on the Farm is going to be held over just south of Ottawa on the August 1st long weekend. And then I think we're going to host one here in southwestern Ontario in the fall.
Maybe you should have one up your place in Owen Sound, Bruce.
Well, yeah, I try and do more activity up north. Unfortunately, Parry Sound doesn't have the most active agricultural community.
Oh, my goodness.
But I can visit farms along the way, the Holland Marsh.
Yes. That's always a wonder to go through there. It's just amazing what's been done. And they had their challenges last year with that. I think that when the dikes breached last year. Yeah. So that certainly makes a lot of farmland pretty soggy in a hurry. So let's play this last song here, Bruce, and we'll finish up in a few minutes with our last segment, The Flock of Seagulls, another great song. Probably one of the men you listen to on the radio from time to time. I'm just really intrigued that you've actually picked four songs. You're the best. for a self-confessed not music interested, you very graciously.
I listen to music. My favorite time to listen to music was when I pressure washed in the pig barn because I had some of those new headphones with the FM receiver in them. So that was my quiet time to think and listen to music and come up with great ideas is when I pressure washed pig barns.
See, one can get their inspiration for many things, and I think anybody that can have their foot in the farm door has had a situation where they're working hard, and that's when some of their best stuff happens. Okay, we're going to play it. It's Flock of Seagulls, and then we'll be back with my guest, Bruce Kelly, and then we'll call it a day. But let's play the song, and we'll talk to you again shortly here. Here we go.
Hi, this is Carla Kale from the Waterloo Region Museum. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, folks, we're back into our last of our show today with my guest Bruce Kelly. This has been episode number 77, and this is April 25th of 2014. And it looks like spring is finally here, you think, Bruce. And we're ready to look forward to going out and prowling around your projects.
Well, I look at, you know, April 25th, I think it's a good day to plant grain. And I haven't driven a lot north Waterloo this week, but I don't know how much grain's going in.
I think you can still find snowbanks if you look hard enough.
I think you can seed grain if you're willing to turn, go around the snowbanks.
Yeah, and there's been years like that. It's really crazy how much, there's such an accumulation this year. Just, I guess you see everything, like, about 20 years since we had this much snow where they actually had snowblowers to clear off road allowances.
Yeah, and cold, sustained cold. I just don't remember a year where it just was just sustained cold at 20 below and just didn't really move from there.
Yeah, it was something else. Did you think it put any of your projects in jeopardy? I guess not. It's really
any of our research projects? Yeah. I think they'll be okay, but it's certainly a late season. That's absolutely true. I mean, last year our projects came out of the 2012 drought to do drought research. Mm. And, I mean, last year wasn't the best year to do drought research because
it's pretty normal.
It was a pretty normal year, and we had irrigation projects where we didn't even turn the irrigation on. We had one on peaches, and they never did irrigate the peaches the whole summer. They didn't need to, which is okay, too.
Yeah.
It just didn't give me very good data to make conclusions from.
It's pretty easy to go over that data quite quickly.
Yeah. The most economical system was no system.
And we laugh about it, but folks, it's true. Anybody's had to do research and make plans. You do have to kind of cover all the possibilities, and that is actually useful data to a point.
Well, that's the thing with looking at irrigation on certain crops, Jeff. If you only have to irrigate 1 year out of 10, well, that's a risk. If you have to irrigate 3 years out of five, then you're going to have equipment and it's going to be set up all the time. So it depends on what you grow, where you grow it, and the risk in the area that you're at that you don't get enough soil, enough water to grow the crop you're going to grow.
Yeah.
So if you're a tomato grower in south of Brant, you're going to be set up for irrigation all the time.
Yeah.
But if you grow tomatoes somewhere else, you may not need irrigation equipment.
Yeah. It's very site specific. And, weather guides and records are your friend.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's nice to look back on what the weather did, but as we all know as farmers, every spring is a new spring.
Yeah, true. And just far enough away from most recent memory, it seems so radically different than before.
Yep.
Anything else we should talk about, Bruce, before we call a day or anticipate our next show? You're busy with this year's projects coming up. You just had your annual meeting. Very glad you're able to come on our show. Anything else that comes to mind you want to mention?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about sustainability because everybody else seems to talk about it. So
that's a
we
good
should
word.
Talk about it too. Yeah. Sustainability is not new. I'm a little long in the tooth here, and it was certainly around in the 70s when I was going to university and we were going to run out of food and have to eat green slime and it was going to be the end. And something that prognostication hasn't turned out, thank goodness. Most of the world is doing a better job of feeding itself than it ever has before. And it doesn't mean we don't have issues, but sustainability is back on the plate, and it means so many different things to different people. And so we at Farm and Food Care and many of the other organizations here are starting to have discussions about what sustainability means to us in the future.
Mm.
There's a lot of people throwing the term around who are anti-technology, and for them, somehow the rest of the world gets to take advantage of all the latest technologies, but when we apply them to agriculture, we're somehow evil.
Mm-hmm.
And we as farmers know that's not the case. The technologies that we choose to develop, we're doing it for a reason. Sometimes they're production reasons. Sometimes it's generally always for a production reason. We try and make more money at this game. But there's many people that don't understand the food system that every time we try and use any technology, they're against it. So we as at Farm and Food Care, and we're working with the other farm groups, grain farmers have a big sustainability program underway because they've got European customers that are asking them about the sustainability of their activities. It seems like kind of a funny question to us farmers here in Ontario.
Yeah.
You know, we drive around the roads where you live, Jeff, and there's lots of Century Farm signs. And I've recently come across a couple of farms in Ontario that are 200 years old down in eastern Ontario. And, you know, so we as farmers, we shake our head a little bit when people say, well, are you sustainable? And, you know, we've been doing this for 100 years now, and we're still producing land or still producing crops. In fact, we've increased the amount that we produce. So, why are you asking us about sustainability? But we do need to address their questions. We need to come to a common understanding of what sustainability is, and I think that's where we're at, and we're working toward one that embraces newer technologies when they make sense.
It's a really accounting problem too. It's I'm getting off on a tangent, but sustainability for the farm industry is can I make a living, and I think that's as you're right, sustainability means so much, especially for people who are opposed to technology. But there's also the measurement of that sustainability. Like, remember they debated whether or not was it better to have coffee in a reusable mug or in a paper cup, and it just got bogged down because it's just a huge. It's so difficult.
Yeah,
and that's part of the sustainability equation. How the heck do you define the?
That's the thing. When you can't hardly define it, and you can't measure it, then it's hard to have a discussion about it. The interesting thing about sustainability, and I guess why I've been dragged back into this kicking and screaming, because sustainability can be a black hole of work and energy too. But I mean, if you actually mess up sustainability, then you go extinct.
Yeah,
and that's bad.
Well, I think with that kind of clarity, it'll we're probably a lot better off.
So, although we can be confused about the definitions, if you get it wrong, if you really, really get it wrong, the consequences are enormous. So that's why I'm being dragged back into this.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing. I'm glad yourself and others like yourself are looking at some of these here. The stuff in behind those headlines. What does that actually mean? How would you do this? And what you're doing is so very important that way. So.
One other website I wanted to mention for folks that wanted to, especially in the farming community, Farm and Food Care has a little book called The Dirt on Farming.
Excellent book.
And it's got the information about those, top 10 issues about pen size and livestock transportation and why we use pesticides and conventional agriculture and organic agriculture. It discusses all of those issues, and it's a really great book to get. But at a more academic level, if you look at a website from the United States called the Center for Food Integrity, and the Center for Food Integrity is a very big organization that has the resources to address these issues we hear about in the news and some of these junk science articles that come out. And they're not all junk science articles, but science articles and junk science articles, and they actually review them within 48 hours.
Wow.
So when you hear one of these sensational videos that come out, they'll write a critique, and if the farmer needs to be called out on the mat, they will. Or if it's just footage that hasn't been interpreted correctly, they'll say that too. And they also address these nutritional issues, and you're back to your coffee. Coffee's bad, sugar's bad, fat's bad, everything's bad. And so the Center for Food Integrity is a great website. They also have an app, I think, and it's a great place to go to get more in-depth follow-up on some of these things where you read the headlines and then you're even more afraid when you go to the grocery store the next time.
Yeah, it's really changed a lot as far as reporting. Well, that's a good tip, Bruce. Thanks for mentioning that, the Center for Food Integrity. I think most of us can get information, but if people could get the two or three good points like that, the two or three good sources, that's excellent. So, good tip. So, we've done actually amazing for a roundup. We've just started a whole new conversation again. I guess we could probably look forward to another great show. We'll have lots to talk about.
Well, this is great, Jeff. We're glad that you've come to the Agri Center here in Guelph and consider this your home studio away from home. And with the access to the great resource people and the organizations that are here, we hope we can help you with some content for more of your shows.
That's well spoken, Bruce. Thanks so much for doing that. And just as Bruce has said, that's exactly what we're doing here. We'll continue with our studios over in Waterloo, but this is a great opportunity and really appreciated to be here at Guelph at this facility and with your cooperation and help to get it going. Here we are. And so with that, folks, I'll say one more time, thanks so much, Bruce, for coming out. And we'll see you hopefully sooner than later. And great show. Had a lot of fun. And, you know, you'll be picking more music next time. So be forewarned that you'll have to maybe...
I will have to pick better, put more effort into my music picking. Thanks, Jeff. And so for anyone that wants to learn more about the activities of Farm and Food Care, check out our website. And if anybody's got any specific information they like about our water research, check out the environmental tab at the Farm and Food Care website.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Bruce. And that'll be it for today's show, folks. You've been listening to episode number 77 of the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. It's your host, Jeff Steger, and we have been using the facilities of the Agri Center in Guelph on Stone Road. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.